Last year on the show, we met Temple University biologist Eric Cordes just as he embarked on a mission to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico.
We are looking at deep-sea corals right outside our porthole here. Over.
That was Eric Cordes calling us from the submarine Alvin, deep from the ocean floor. He studies corals and has been researching the impact of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. He's back now in the studio together with his doctoral student, Danielle D'Elia. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Eric, give us a little bit of the background. You started studying the health of these corals before the Deepwater Horizon accident happened and have been following this issue over time, right?
Right. I mean, that's one of the ways that we initially got involved, because we were some of the only people who had this background information, this sort of pre-spill baseline to fall back on and to really know what you're looking at when you go down there. So we have been working in the area for maybe 15 years. I have been involved in deep coral research in the Gulf, and we had some sites in the area, and we went back and took a look, and it was sort of inconclusive what we found, and then we spent a lot of time exploring the immediate area around the rig. We've now found three or four sites that have definitely been impacted by the spill.
Now, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is the impact of the oil itself. How did that change the health of the corals?
So we found a large area of the seafloor that had oil on it, and there are a few coral sites within that, and the corals at those sites were covered in oil when we first found them. They were beginning to degrade. There's tissue falling off of the skeleton. They were in really bad shape. And that led to some of these other studies to follow up and see what it was that was actually causing this effect, and how oil or this dispersant that was applied in the spill is affecting the health of the corals.
And Danielle, talk a bit about the dispersant. How does it work? How is it used? How much of it is used with a spill of that size?
I know it's usually applied at about a 1-to-10 ratio. I believe approximately 2 million liters of dispersants were applied. The dispersant helps to act as an emulsifier to help break up the oil and hopefully spread it throughout the water column a little bit better.
What are the dispersants made of typically?
The dispersants are a mixture of chemicals, one of them being DOS that we did actually detect in that brown flocculent material that were found on the corals at our impact sites.
And what did you find when you looked at the corals? How were they affected by the dispersant?
So in some of our experimental studies, it seemed that the corals did a lot worse when dispersants were applied either in combination with oil or just by itself. So the corals exhibited similar signs of stress that we see on the seafloor with some of the imagery and studies that Eric was talking about, where you have tissue falling off the skeleton, you have kind of dying polyps that are retracted, they're no longer feeding. The tissue can be discolored. They're excreting a lot of mucus. So they're definitely not healthy corals.
And what is the thinking in terms of how long these effects will last? Can they be reversed?
Well, we've been going back and revisiting these sites every few months since the spill happened. And we've been taking images of the exact same corals and following their trajectory over time. And the corals that had really heavy damage initially are not recovering and getting worse. And a few of the colonies that only had very light damage seem to be sort of recovering and even regrowing over the skeleton where they were damaged. So it's sort of a mixed story. For the time frame, you know, if they can recover, hopefully they'll get back to health in a matter of years. The corals that were really heavily damaged, some of them were probably in the order of 400, 500, 600 years old.
What is the role of corals? What makes them important to the overall system?
That's a great question. It's something that I get asked a lot, and I struggle to answer. There are a lot of ways that we think they play a role in the greater ecosystem. They're visited by fish that migrate up and down through the water column every day, and they provide food coming down to the corals that's sinking from the surface. But we think some of these fish interact down there on these deep water coral reefs and then bring nutrients back up to the surface. There are large predators that come down and visit and may feed there and then export some of that to the surface. So we think there are these really broad connections, but no one's really demonstrated that, really quantified it. And that's something that we hope to do in the future.
And Danya, what do you think will be the takeaway from what you found in terms of the use of dispersants in future accidents?
I hope that it will prevent people from just quickly applying these types of dispersants to communities where the toxic effects aren't well known, and kind of encourage people to come up with more natural, less toxic dispersants in the event of another oil spill.
Is there such a thing? Is there any research being done on a better dispersant?
Yeah, there is research. Within the same consortium that we perform our research on, there's other people who focus more on the chemical aspects of things. And there are more natural dispersants using components of cactus as a natural dispersant. Again, still acting as that emulsifier, but in a more natural way where it can be degraded in the environment without causing toxic effects on organisms. And I think that that is the way that the research needs to go, instead of just relying on what we already have and trying to understand that different environments may need different types of cleanup methods.
Thank you both so much for being here.